Matthew chapter 17, stand with me if you will. I'm going to read a portion of a story. This is about the devil. This is about the disciples not having power and the Lord explaining why. You ever wondered why maybe your Christian life seemed a little bit powerless? Or have you even ever questioned it? I have. I've never prayed and said, Lord, I'm feeling kind of weak. The Bible says this in Matthew chapter 17, and when they were, in verse 14, chapter 17, verse 14, and when they were come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic, sore vexed. For oftentimes he falleth into the fire and often to the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. How many remembers reading over there where the Lord gave the disciples power to cast out demons and heal the sick? Not this one. I didn't know that when the Lord gave them that power that there was going to be limitations, did you? I mean, wouldn't you have thought that when the Lord gave them that power that it would have been for everything and everywhere and everybody? But not this one. And it's not because the devil had more power right here. I think sometimes we just see bigger storms. Bigger storms causes bigger doubt. Bigger questions. Bible said in verse 17, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? I think that's a legitimate question. I think it's fair. I think it's fair for us to want to be concerned and to want to know, if I ain't doing, Lord, like I'm supposed to be doing, show me what I'm doing. That's kind of a personal checkup, ain't it? Every once in a while in the mornings, I'll get up and I'll go into the kitchen and I'll make coffee. And I like my coffee with just French vanilla creamer. Don't have to have no sugar. Pour enough vanilla creamer in it. Brother Joseph likes a cup of French vanilla creamer with just a tad of coffee. Coffee. Think about buying stocks in the French vanilla creamer business. And then I'll go back to the restroom and I'll get out my little blood sugar testing kit before I drink my French vanilla coffee. Before. And I'll take that thing and put me a new needle in there and I'll get that machine out and I'll put that strip in it and try not to touch it where I ain't supposed to touch it. Take alcohol and clean my fingers off real good. And then I'll take that thing and I'll stick it up there. Pow! It goes off. That's what it feels like. I found out this. When you get older, you don't bleed quite as easy as you did when you got younger. I'm thinking, I must be running out of blood. And I put that thing on there and check my blood sugar. That's just a personal checkup for me. And then I'll think, if it's too high, Brother Glenn, I'll think, oh, I forgot last night I ate a couple of donuts before I went to bed. One morning I got up and my blood sugar was way up there. I thought, what in the world? I ain't eat nothing. Then I remembered for supper, we had a good supper, and my wife made some of them good homemade canned biscuits, and I ate a couple of them canned biscuits with some homemade syrup. Now that right there will get you. It is called cane syrup. And in case you're wondering, it's really called sugar cane syrup. The disciple said, why could not we cast them out? Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief. He didn't beat around the bush. He said, it's your fault. He said, it ain't my fault. I cast him out. We've been talking about prayer. I've taken notice since I've been pastoring people to put a lot of confidence in the prayer of a preacher. In all reality, you can pray just as good as I can. I've often wondered, Brother Joseph, how come folks not praying for themselves? How come they asking me to pray? Now, I don't mind. You ask me to pray, I don't mind. I will pray. I do pray. But I've often wondered, how come you can't pray? I think sometimes the reason you can't pray is because of your unbelief. You don't believe that you can pray as easy as I can pray. But you can. But you can. And he said, because of your unbelief. Father, I pray you'd help us for a few minutes. God, thank you for letting us be here. Thank you for this good crowd of people. Thank you for the good people of God that loves you. And Lord, I pray this morning that somebody that needs help will get the help they need and will give you the glory for everything you do. We'll give you the credit for anything accomplished. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The same story is told in the book of Mark. Mark chapter number 9. It's got a little different twist. There are some things that they said different that they didn't say in Matthew chapter 17. And it's kind of like you and I. I've had people tell me, they said, if that's the same story, how come the Bible's different? You see, the Bible contradicts itself. You know, people that's looking for fault in the Bible are going to find fault if Jesus had put it on a CD and let it just be audio. They're going to find fault. They're happy in the way they live, and they don't want this book correcting anything about what they do. But if you went fishing, caught you a good mess of fish, I seen you, you told me about it, I doubt seriously you would be able to include every detail of that fishing trip. You'd probably leave a little something out. But the next time you told it, you might remember it. Little of the specifics. The details. Now, you wouldn't be wrong. You're telling the same story. Matthew's telling his story. Jesus is doing the work. The disciples are there. The man's son's got a problem. Now Mark's telling his story. I want to look at what Mark said. The Bible says in Mark chapter number 9, verse 14, the Bible says, "And when he came to the disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioned with them. Straightway all the people, when they beheld, were greatly amazed, running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? One of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit." Now, some people don't like to use that terminology like that in reference to someone that doesn't speak. But the Bible says that he has a dumb spirit. Now, to help understand that better, that means that spirit ain't saying nothing. He's just doing it. Whatever it is he's doing it. And he don't care whether people understand it or not. He's not saying, here's why I'm doing it. And he said in verse number 18, "And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not." They could not. "He answered him and said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. He asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oftentimes they have cast him into the fire and into the water and to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us." Jesus said unto him, "If thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth." And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears. I believe it's real safe to say we've got a broken-hearted father. He's weeping over his son that's suffering from the hand of the devil. You know, a lot of times, we don't get upset over stuff like that. We just call them crazy. Now, we'll see people out there in the world that's doing stuff, and we'll think in our mind, I can't believe they're doing that. They're crazy. Did you ever stop and think about it might be the devil doing that in them? Might be somebody here today who's got family. Children, grandchildren. You've done everything you could. Maybe you yourself, you've done everything you could to try to get yourself in church and to be a faithful church attendee. But if it ain't one thing, it's another. And I'm telling you, it's just real hard when you're fighting the devil. It's real hard. I say there's nobody in this, under the sound of my voice this morning that's here, that would tell me, I don't know the difference between right and wrong. There ain't nobody in here to say that. You might not know the Bible, every line upon line, and every precept upon precept, but you know what's right and wrong. You know what morals are. There's enough understanding from your youth instilled in you and instilled in me coming up that we know what's right and what's wrong. But yet still, He taketh us and teareth us. Sometimes He'll cast you in the fire. He'll put you in a hot place. He'll put you in the water. He'll try to drown you out. Don't want you to be heard. The Bible said, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe. Help thou mine unbelief. Believing goes real good right here. The Lord just got finished saying, said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. He said, I believe. You know why you're here this morning? Because you believe. Well, somebody somewhere told you that if you give your heart to Christ one day, that He'd save you. You believe? Somebody somewhere told you one day that if you're going to be a Christian and you're going to grow in the Lord and you're going to learn things about God and the godly life and about the Bible, you need to be faithful to church. So you knew it. You believed. Somebody told you one day that if you want to be any hope for your children, for your family, you need to get them involved in the house of God. There's people in here this morning, your children ain't never known nothing but one church. It's a good thing. Stability. Instability ruins people. I knew a family one time. They'd been to, I knew of about 6 or 7 different churches. I thought, wow, what in the world? What in the world? Those kids were so confused. I don't even know if they go to church anymore. I think maybe 1 or 2 of them might. Out of 6 or 7 or so. The Lord said, your problem is, fellas, unbelief. Man, that'll kill a Christian. You can start out believing and somewhere along the way, unbelief will sneak in. Have you ever noticed that? Well, you started out trusting the Lord as your Savior. You started out somewhere telling God you didn't know nothing, He knew everything, and you wanted what He had. Eternal life. Somewhere along the way, you just got to where you're doubting things. Unbelief. Man, just, oh man. What a horrible, what a vile, what a wicked thing. I'm not interested in unbelief. I want belief. Noah Webster said this, it's the persuasion of the truth. Or in a set of mind, to the truth of a declaration. It's in theology and faith, a firm persuasion of the truth of religion. Back over here in Matthew, when this man's talking to the Lord, the disciples are asking Him about what's going on, and they're calling Him Jesus. We know His name's Jesus. Thou shalt call His name Jesus. You know, to everybody that walked on the face of the earth during the time that Christ was born, during the time that Christ was living, and everybody ever since, they have heard of the name of Jesus. I have a real hard time. Somebody tells me I've never heard of Jesus. Well, I mean, if for nothing else, a lot of people have just woke up and said, I think I'll just take that name and use it to swear by. They might not worship Him. They might not believe in Him. They might not live for Him. But they'll use His name for something. They know the name. That's not a hidden name. It's a powerful name. It's an authoritative name. Everybody knew Him as Jesus. You could mention the name of Jesus. The Bible says that the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. The Bible says that there's no other name given among men whereby we must be saved. What name is it? It's the name of Jesus. A lot of people don't like it, especially if you got sin in your life. You got sin in your life. Ain't nobody want to talk about Jesus. A lot of people just use it as a kind of a comedy term. I remember seeing a clip. Somebody put a clip on YouTube where a house was on fire and a woman come running out. And she's talking about all that stuff going on, the fire and everything. She said, oh, Lord Jesus, I ain't got time for all that. I believe that sometime we're not careful, we'll just take His name in vain. Guilty. But in Mark chapter 9, the Bible says right here, and straightway, after He's been encouraged, after He's been told, after He's been instructed, you got to be instructed. Hey, friend, in the instruction that Christ gives me, in the instruction that Christ gives you, if you cannot take His instruction, don't expect His blessings. If you can't take His instructions and follow His lead, don't expect the blessings. Jesus said unto him, verse 23, if thou canst believe, that's the remedy. Believing might seem real hard, but it's an act of faith. Dr. Noah Webster said, unbelief is the withholding of belief. Boy, that's deep, ain't it? You know what it said about unbelief? It said it's blind. You know what hinders us from believing? Not being able to literally see it. We're looking for something else. We're trying to have a tangible product. Something we can lay our hands on. Water. I love water. I'm glad they moved that water cooler back there. If there was one thing I'd say that we need to do more with the water cooler, it would be put it out of the reach of anybody under 4 foot tall. Brother Daniel, don't look at your wife. She's over 4 foot tall. Wow, that guy. We probably don't need to get in all that, Sister Melissa. Y'all. She's from Maine. Little Frank Maine. Any of y'all got young boys? Young boys that y'all need to teach them anything, get with Brother Frank. Brother Frank, you got any young boys you want to teach them about work? Take them with Brother Frank. He broke his foot this week and he ain't stopped yet. I'm still overwhelmed about the man that had to go get one stitch. If that's you, it wasn't you, it ain't. But if it is you, you went to get one stitch. I will become un-Christian quickly. And you wouldn't want to hear what I had to say. Unbelief, Webster says, the disbelief of divine revelation. You say, man, that's what I want. I want to have a divine revelation. Too late. I don't believe there is no more divine revelations. I believe there's continual encouragement of faith. We have, God talked to Daniel. God talked to John. What else you want? Oh, I know what you want. You want something to make you look as big as Daniel and John. Boy, how pride will destroy in Christian life. The Bible said in verse 24, straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, Lord, can I say this? He came to him in the right way. He ain't calling him Jesus. Everybody called him Jesus. Everybody didn't call him Lord. But he comes to him now and he's saying, Lord, Lord, I believe. Don't you know good and well that the Lord, the King of glory, my Savior, the Son of God, knew the truth about this man when he said, I believe? If he didn't believe, the Lord would have exposed him. He done told the disciples, y'all's problem is unbelief. And if this man didn't believe, the Lord would have pointed him out and said, no, you don't. You too have unbelief. You too have a sin problem. You've got doubts. You've got problems. But he said, Lord, I believe. I believe when he answers the Lord right here, he's addressing something specifically first. I believe that he's not talking about the problem that is occurring with his son. But I believe, number one, he's addressing the problem of who the Lord is. He's saying, Lord, I believe. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you're the promised one. I believe you're hope for my son. I believe you're hope for my daughter. I believe you're hope for my family. I believe you're the reason for revival. I believe you're the one that's going to straighten this mess out. I know America's in trouble. I know the world's in a fix right now. I know there's problems all over the land. But I believe, Lord, if anybody can do it, you can do it. I believe, I believe, I believe, and I believe because you're Lord. But he had another issue. He said with tears, Lord, I believe. Paul, Saul, on the road to Damascus, when the Lord strikes him blind and he falls down there, he said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, who art thou? Who art thou, Lord? He's getting on track. Brother Bradley, I hate to say this morning, but it's real easy for me to get off track once in a while. Anybody else? It's real easy to get off track. It's real easy to get off track. It's real easy to get off track. It's so easy. It's so easy to get off track. If you ain't careful, that Sunday school class that you used to weep over, you'll dread getting a lesson together. If you're not real careful of that bus ministry that you used to weep over and pray over, you'll be dreading it. You'll wake up in the morning and say, oh God, I got to get up and I got to drive that bus. If you're not real careful, it's real easy to get off track, and the very fact that you could come down to the house of God and sing songs about Him in unison with your brothers and sisters in the Lord I told him last night, it's an opportunity. There's some of us in here this morning that you might not would want to stand up in church and testify and brag on God and just publicly and openly with nobody else around you stand there saying, I just want to say, want to lift up my voice, better love the Lord with all my heart. But we can come together on Sunday morning and everybody break up in a songbook and everybody turn to the same page and everybody start singing together, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. And I mean, it gets real and it gets personal. And maybe when you first got saved, that's the way you felt. But if you're not careful, you'll get off track and it'll just become another song. And it might as well be anybody in the world singing it, because it don't mean nothing no more. Unbelief is coming alive. Unbelief, it can be put underfoot. Stomped down. Restricted. But if you're not careful along your Christian journey, that snake will crawl out of there, rear his head back up, and you can't do that. Do you have any idea? Do you have any idea in this past year how much I have had to fight unbelief? Any idea? I'd say no. I'm telling you, I've walked concrete slab and I've prayed over it, Brother Danny. I'd look at it, Brother Leroy, I'd say, dear God, this thing ain't going to be big enough for nothing. That was just one giant that was going to be a problem. And I mean, Brother Tracy, I'd say, well, number one, we ain't going to have the money to do this. And I ain't never built nothing except for stuff that wasn't square. I wish somebody would have said amen instead of everybody laughing at me right there. Amen. Thanks, your son. Amen. Amen. Don't get on to him. I needed that right there, okay? I mean, that old devil just come by my way, and I'm telling you, every time we start to do something, I say, man, I'm going to go down there and get a price on vinyl. Go get a price on vinyl, and it'd be $3,000 or $4,000. I say, oh, you kidding me? I tell them people, I'd go to buy stuff. I say, hey, you charge me what you want to, but I'm telling you right now, it's God's money, and He'll judge you. And they're like, scare them to death. I said, well, it might be, but we still got to charge you then. I'm just trying to tell you that unbelief don't care who it is. Unbelief don't care if it's in America or in Africa. Unbelief don't matter. Don't matter to the devil if he's throwing unbelief out there. If it's the preacher or a piano player. Doesn't matter if it's a Sunday school teacher or if it's somebody mowing the grass. It don't matter. I tell you what it does do. It'll take away the joy that you had. I try to take mental notes of Sunday school teachers and musicians and watch them real close, Brother Larry, just to see if they're happy in serving the Lord. I think that's a pretty good thing you can go by. Now, some people don't like musicians because we're living in an hour when so many songs can be sung and most of the world don't even know that it's probably about three-quarters contemporary. But some saved folk take it and sing it right, play it right, and people sit in the house of God and weep lift up their hands, worship God. My kids, they like for me to not know where a song come from. If I get one, they get one. I say, no, they used to tell me, they come to me, they say, Dad, what do you think about this? I said, where you get that from? Where you get that song from? And they said, blah, 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 blah. I said, no, we ain't singing at church. No, not doing that one. Throw it in the trash. Get rid of it. About 2 weeks later, they come in here and say, Dad, we got a new song this morning. You don't like it. They get singing that thing. I'm sitting over squalling and crying, lift my hands up. At the church, I said, where in the world did y'all find out? I said, Dad, that's that song you heard the other day. You know what I found out? I found out that in our Christian life, sometimes unbelief will steal our joy that God's trying to give us. We just too dumb to realize that God's trying to work in our life. So I'm just old fashioned. There ain't nothing old fashioned. Ain't nobody. There's one man in this building, one man in this church, one man in here this morning that knows anything about an outhouse. Amen. Y'all come on. Come on in. Come on in. We're just getting started. You right on time. One man knows something. Well, you ain't old fashioned. You ain't old fashioned. You just won't tell people you're old fashioned because there's a testimony that goes with old fashioned. If you was old fashioned, you wouldn't have that ice maker in your refrigerator. You'd be going to the ice house. Anybody remember the ice house? I know you do. Brother Darnell, where was the ice house? Highway 17? Yes, thank you. I'm just talking about if we ain't real careful, the devil will take away what God gives us. So a little bit of faith that has grown along the way, the belief that we had and trusted in Him to save us and to seal us, and write our name down in the Lamb's Book of Life and know beyond a shadow of a doubt that heaven's my eternal home, and take that away and replace it with unbelief. He said, Lord, I believe. He said, but I got a problem. It ain't your fault, God. Yes, Lord, it's not your fault. It ain't your fault. Somebody else's fault. The problem right here, Brother Gary, he said, help thou mine unbelief. What in the world? Now listen real close. This man took his son to the disciples because he believed that they could fix the problem. Have you ever been hurt by somebody else's Christian walk? I imagine. You say, well, I shouldn't have been looking at him. I know. Well, you might not have should have, but I'm telling you, it happens. All of us ain't walking in the walk that we want people to think we're walking in. All of us ain't up there on the mountaintop where we think we want everybody to think we at. Hey, but I'd really like to be up there. I really would. When Peter, James, and John went with the Lord on to the Mount of Transfiguration, I'm sure I'd like to have been there and seen all that. And I'd have probably been just as goofy as Peter was and said something dumb too. But I know this. I've seen people that said they was Christians and they done things. They listened last night. They ain't no telling how many people that bears the name of Christ that got drunk as a runaway dog. Smoked dope, smoked crack, took pills. Amen. Laid up somewhere in a tattoo parlor all day yesterday and waited on somebody to inflict pain on them and then take their money. Well, don't drop your head, young man. If you got a tattoo, I can't help it. Just don't get another one, okay? Just don't get another one. Obey the Lord. Amen. Go with God. He said, my problem is not that I believed. I believed and took him. I took my boy to the place where I knew he could get some help at. But I found out that they dropped the ball. They didn't have near the power they said they had. They wasn't walking as close to God as they said they were. And things didn't pan out right. So now I got a problem with unbelief. Yeah, a lot of people living this life. That young lady that's living at your church right there, married a man, had high hopes, being a good wife, being a mother, working in the church, having a church family, ends up, he beats the life out of her. Just treats her like a dog. And I tell you, that wasn't what she had in mind. She probably had believed, Brother Dan, that things would work out great. It'd be the perfect home. But somewhere along the way, it didn't work. And somewhere along the way in here this morning, it might not have worked to your idea of perfection. But can I tell you, don't look at the ones that led you wrong. Look at the one that's leading you right. And go with God and stay with Christ and stay in the Bible and stay in the church and stay with a song in your heart and serve the Lord and stand up every once in a while and say amen and praise the Lord and give God your best hallelujah. You'll not go wrong. I've been saved 47 years and I ain't never got under conviction one time for shouting and praising God and blessing the Lord. I ain't never been told by the Holy Ghost to sit out and be quiet. You sound like you're just embarrassing everybody. I'm telling you, done in the right spirit, in the right place, in the right time. There's right timing just to stand up and say, thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. I'm talking about just getting over unbelief. He said, help my unbelief. Well, how do you help? How do you help somebody's unbelief? I don't know how it was back during these days. We're talking around somewhere around the time of about 32 A.D. Well, here it is now, 2019. In the year 2019, it takes real big miracles to make people believe. Isn't it sad? Isn't it sad that it takes a miracle when it's only supposed to take faith? I got saved by faith, brother. Josh, by faith. By faith I came to the Lord. Brother Jeremiah, by faith I came to Him. I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. Whatever I said. I don't remember everything I said, but I know this. What I said worked. Huh? Call it what you want to. I came to Jesus. That's why we're in our house when our children was little. Every once in a while we have a little come to Jesus meeting. Huh? Does He? Amen. Amen. He's not been spared abroad. Hallelujah. There's a brother named Samuel. Brother Samuel Mawara. Am I saying that right? Is that close enough? Brother Samuel Mawara. He's a pastor not too far from his church over in Africa. And when we were over there, we met the principal that he went to school at, where he went to school, the principal. We met him, didn't we? And they were talking about how they disciplined over there. Now, you can't do this over here because your children are crying. You don't want to hear your children cry. I never understood how come my mom and daddy didn't care if we cried. I think they took a little bit of pleasure in it. Oh, they cry now. We're getting into the good place right now. Yeah, we got them crying. Well, I want to hear them screaming. And they poured on a little harder. And brother, they was talking about when they done wrong over there. Ain't none of you children going to know about this. The nearest you're going to know, is there any children in here that know what a switch is? A switch. Come on now. Come on. Jaleel, put your hand down. Oh, dear God, you better put... I'm getting waving y'all. Put them hands down. Ain't no lightning going to get on me because it got on you. Over there, they came. You say, is that like a switch? Yeah. On steroids. Maybe because of braid three switches together. We asked him, we said, Sam, you ever been caned? He said, oh, many, many times. What? Do you remember what he said, Brother Gary? What did he say? I believe he told me no less than 1,000. Isn't that what he said? And he said, this is the man that done it. And he says, I am what I am today because of him. Well, what they was doing, they was working on his unbelief. Daddy worked on mine. Mama worked on mine. Mama don't. She said, I never did hardly ever whip you, son. And she don't remember that stuff. I remember it. I needed more. I opened that door, didn't I? Well, too late now. Okay, God bless you. Amen. She thinks she can outrun me too. Okay, just leave her alone. Leave her alone. Leave her alone. She'll be 91 next month. That's my mom right there. All right? All right. Okay, Mama, sit there and don't say nothing else. All right. Tell her, explain to her, Lee, what I'm trying to say. Y'all made me lose my place. Bible said in verse 25, when Jesus saw that the people came, Mark chapter 9, verse 25. Mark chapter 9, verse 25. When Jesus saw that the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying to him, thou dumb, deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him. A spirit cried and rent his sore, came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. That's what the multitude thought. The multitude seen that boy laying there and thought he was a dead boy. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he come to the house, disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? He said unto them, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. As a Christian, there's going to be things that you're going to need to do. There's going to be mountaintops that you need to climb. There's going to be battles that you're going to have to fight. There's going to be giants that you're going to have to kill. That if you don't mess with them, they're going to steal every bit of your belief. They're going to crush you. We've said it many times. Brother Alex, we've said it many times. Colton. Where's Colton? Stand up, Colton. Terry, did y'all graduate same year? Taryn, stand up. Who else graduated? Y'all just wanting to graduate is what y'all want. Get that job, you'll say, I wish I was back in school. Every time Mark McGahee's come to this church, he said, I wondered who's going to be missing when I come back. Boy, I'm telling you, the devil, I'm not going to say he's done all he could do. Don't you ever underestimate Him. Sir, He knows how to get you. Ma'am, He knows how to get you. Young person, He knows how to get you. I think I told him one day, I said, got a picture back there in my office. All them young men. Remember that picture we took? There's about, how many young men was in that picture? You was in it? About 8 or 9 young men that was in that picture that was serving God. Some of them surrendered to preach. One left. One young lady. One young man. Don't cast no stones. Don't cast no stones. He set His marks on you too. But it wasn't that long ago you was wanting to quit. And people are out here praying, thank God for your behalf. And your mama laying in the altar weeping and crying because of that grandbaby. And that mama going up there and crying and begging God, Lord, I believe that You can bring my child home. I believe, God, that You can do whatever needs to be done. But just down on the depths, the inside of me, on the human side of me that's got to have something seen, I got a problem with unbelief. I wish You'd help me. I ask you this morning, what you need God to do for you? What you need God to do for you? What you need God to do for you? You need Him. You admit it. Confess it. You ain't got to say it out loud. But down in the depths of your heart, you know there's some areas where you need God to do something. Every one of us, we all made out of the same stuff. We all just alike. We need God to do something in our lives because I'm telling you, if we ain't careful, the weeds of unbelief will take over our yard. Every once in a while, my grass, it'll be beautiful, Brother Sean and everything, but I see them little weeds growing. And man, I mean, it starts coming up, Brother Tracy, and they make spots in my yard and make it not look nice no more. And my wife, if I don't watch out, I'll see her out there. She'll be sitting out in the yard with a 5-gallon bucket pulling weeds and putting them in that bucket. I said, let them grow. I'll mow them down. She said, they'll still be there. I'm getting rid of them. That's what we need to do. With unbelief, when it comes by our way, that hinders our Christian walk and hinders our family and hinders the faith that our faith was established, the foundations that it was established on. Unbelief. He said, I believe. Lord, I believe. I believe. But help mine unbelief. Unbelief will change your life. You could have been raised in a Christian home. Y'all know, and all you've ever known was church, son. All you've ever known was Sunday school and church, visitation and playing the guitar on the platform, quoting Bible verses in Sunday school. You couldn't ask for no better. You couldn't ask for no better than that. Got a daughter that'll weep and cry. Where's John Lynch at? Got a daughter that'll weep and cry because she can't come to church because she's got to go to the doctor. How many times have you seen her do that? Many times. Oh, that health might not be perfect. That health might not be what I'd ask for. That health might not be what you'd ask for. But the hand of God's over there. And God's got His hand on her. And all of her friends go to church. Come in here, Brother John. All her friends go to church. She ain't yoked up out there in the world somewhere. I'm telling you, if there's anything that you and I ought to do, when our unbelief starts getting down to the zero level, we ought to think back about how that God blessed us and how God's taken care of us and how God has supplied every need and God's kept us right where He wants us and it might not even look like it, but He's supplying the needs and He's testing us while He's doing it. I'm just saying that God's been real good to us. But then unbelief comes by our way. Some of you need a job. You get one. You don't want it. I don't like to work. I'd rather watch Gunsmoke. I'd rather drink milk and eat Oreo cookies. I like Krispy Kreme donuts. I can think of a lot better things to do in life to drive your sugar up. But Brother Leroy, I know this. If anything's going to get done, we're going to have to work. God give us a job. See, that's why you run up and down that road every day. Just trying to make ends meet. God being good to you. That's why you stand on your feet all day long. God being good to you. So thank you, Lord. Lord, you give me something to do. Give me something to do. I knew you as God. I knew you as Lord. I want to thank you for being Lord. But help my unbelief. Let's all stand together. Maybe this morning unbelief has become something that you can't shake off. You can't get rid of it. Thought you had control of it, thought you had power over it. But I'm telling you that unbelief. You said, I'm going to be a Christian. I'm going to set out for God. I'm going to walk with the Lord. Somewhere along the way, that unbelief just comes. But Josh, that unbelief come by and just kick the breath out of you. It'll do it. Will it do it? Will it do it? But John, remember you used to come in here and shout, hoot and holler and praise God for being saved. I'm telling you, if you ain't careful, somewhere along the way, unbelief will steal your shout. Unbelief will steal your joy. It'll take your family. It'll destroy you. He said, Lord, I believe. I know who you are. Now, help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. Father, I pray this morning, God. Anybody got a need here, Lord? I pray you'd help them. I pray you'd help them, Lord. Please help them. As only you can do. We know you can. And I'm asking you to do so. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. If you need to...